Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shalach, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Prostration of Moshe and Aaron. So tonight we're going to look at Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, through Pasuk Yud, where the Torah teaches us, after the whole incident of Kalev trying to convince the Jewish people and the Meraglim to go into Eretz Yisrael and to not fight against that, so what ends up happening is that there's this one last-ditch effort by Moshe, Aaron, Yehoshua, and Kalev, and there's an interesting facet that we see in these psukim. So we're going to analyze the elements of how Moshe and Aaron and Yehoshua and Kalev responded in this last-ditch effort. So we look in source number one, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, and read through the psukim, and I'll explain them, and then we'll ask our questions and start analyzing. So the first pasuk is Vatisa kol eidah vayitnu es kolam vayivku am b'layla hu. So once the Jews decide that it's scary to go into Eretz Yisrael and they're scared, they start to cry that night. And of course we know that night was Tisha B'Av according to the Medrash, and that's one of the reasons why we fast on Tisha B'Av and we're in Avilus. Vayilonu al Moshe v'aron kol b'nei Yisrael vayomer aliham kol eidah lumasnu b'aretz Mitzrayim o b'midbar zeh lumasnu. So the Jews say to Moshe and Aaron that it would have been better had we died in Mitzrayim or in the Midbar. It's a similar complaint that they make all the time. We would have rather died in the Midbar or in the desert than experience this. So why is Hashem bringing us to this land in order to get slaughtered and so that our women and children will become spoils for the enemies? It's better that we go back to Mitzrayim. And the Jews said to each other, to their fellow Jews, let's go back to Mitzrayim, we'll appoint a leader, and we'll go back to Mitzrayim. So after the story of the Meraglim, the Jews get scared, they're crying, they want to go back to Mitzrayim. Moshe and Aaron respond by bowing down, prostration, putting their face on the ground, and in front of all the Jews. And Yehoshua and Kalev, who were the spies, who were two of the spies, they end up ripping their garments, ripping their clothing. And they tell the Jews that the land that they're going into is really good. And if Hashem wants to give us the land, which is a great land, he'll give it to us. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't rebel against God, and don't be afraid, because their protection is removed, and you can go into Eretz Yisrael and you'll succeed. And we're in Pasuk Yud in source number one. And the Jewish people, they don't respond well to this last ditch effort. And they say, instead, we should stone everybody. We should stone Moshe, Aaron, Kalev, and Yehoshua. And the Shechina presents itself. And that's the end of the psukim that we're reading, that we're going to start with. So just to summarize the psukim, after the Jews were influenced by the Meraglim to be scared of going into Eretz Yisrael, so the response is that they cry all night and they complain, as they usually do in the Midbar, and they want to go back to Mitzrayim. And in Pasuk He and Pasuk Vav, it says, in Pasuk He it says, Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem lifnei kol kahal das b'nei Yisrael. So Moshe and Aaron's response is that they put their face into the ground in front of the Jews. And it says, V'Yoshua ben Nun v'Chalei ben Yifuneh min ha-Tarim es-Aretz kar'u b'gdehem. So if you read through the Pesukim, the main Pesukim we're going to try to focus on are He and Vav, which describe Moshe Aaron's reaction and Yehoshua and Kalev's reaction. Moshe and Aaron, they bow down and they put their faces into the ground, and Yehoshua and Kalev do Kriya. So there are two questions that we're going to ask tonight that we're going to try to explain. One is, you know, why did they react this way? Why did Moshe and Aaron prostrate themselves in front of the people? And why did Yehoshua and Kalev rip their clothes? And furthermore, what's the difference in their reactions? Why is it that Moshe and Aaron reacted in one way, and Yehoshua and Kalev reacted in a different way? Why did they have distinct reactions? It would seem that they were all on high level, they were all individual tzaddikim, and they should have a similar reaction to this experience. So what is the nature of their reactions, and why are their reactions distinct? So those are the questions that we're going to take up tonight. So to start answering the questions, we're going to look at the Ramban. So the Ramban in source number two, he explains the idea of Moshe and Aaron bowing down. It says, "V'tam vayipol Moshe v'aron al pneihem, shiro'u shehayu am noatzim lasos rosh v'loshev miyad." So the Ramban starts off with the fact that Moshe and Aaron were witnessing the Jews deciding to return back to Mitzrayim and appoint a new leader. V'komu la'tzadikim v'hishtachavu la'arpam arza lemor lahem. So these tzadikim, Moshe and Aaron, they bowed down in front of them, telling them, "Al na'achai tareu v'losiyah zos lachem l'puka." So they said to the Jews, "Don't be wicked, and don't allow this to cause a stumbling block." Al kein amar lefnei kol kahal adas b'nei Yisrael. That's why it says that Moshe and Aaron bowed down before the Jewish people, before the nation. Ki lahem ishtachavu al apayim. They were bowing down to the people, and they were begging the people to not give in to this fear. V'chein v'yipol la'apav arza v'ishtachu shalosh pe'amim v'tam lefnei kemo lahem. They were bowing down to them. V'chein v'yilonu gam echa v'yipul lefanav v'rabim zulasa. V'yilchu, sorry, v'yilchu gam echa v'yipul lefanav v'rabim zulasa. So you have other examples of this. So Ramban's pshat is that Moshe and Aaron were bowing down to the people. And it doesn't mean that they were worshiping the people, but they were bowing down and they were begging the people in their state of prostration to give this up, to not continue with this fear of going into Eretz Yisrael. And they were begging them to stay and to not appoint a leader and return to Mitzrayim. So that's one idea in the Ramban. But we still have to analyze further, why did they react this way? And why was the prostration necessary in order for them to convey this to the Jewish people? Why did they have to prostrate themselves in front of the Jews? Instead, they should have just told the Jews, you know, it's as they did before, earlier, that this is really going to cause your demise. So why did they prostrate themselves according to the Ramban? So that's the first question on the Ramban. And also, there's a little bit of a contradiction, because if you go later on in the Rambans, so later on in the Psukim, in source number 3, it's Pasuk Yudalid, sorry, Parak Yudalid, Pasuk Chavav, Vayidabir Ad Hashem El Moshe Vel Aharon Lemor. It says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Ad Masai Lo Eida Ha'ra Azos Asher Hema Malinim Alai Asunos Bnei Yisrael Asher Hema Malinim Alai Shamati. So Hashem says, how long am I supposed to take their complaints? I hear their complaints. Amor Alehem Chai Ani Nu'umad Hashem Ki Im Lo Kasher Dibartem Oznai Kein Es Elachem. So he says that he hears what they're saying in his ears, and he's going to do to them. So all those who complained against God, who are older than 20, were going to die in the Midbar, and this is the punishment given to them. So the Ramban, in source number 4, he says, Vayidaber Hashem, on the first pasuk, Chavva, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe el Aaron, it says, "Ubavur ki Moshe va'Aaron naflu al pneim lifnei kol kahal adas bnei Yisrael." So why did Hashem address both Moshe and Aaron? Because both Moshe and Aaron bowed down in front of Bnei Yisrael, lishanein lo, to beg from him. So the Ramban sounds like their bowing down was really an idea in God, in asking, begging God, because it doesn't say lahem, but the Ramban says lo. So it sounds like they prostrated themselves for God, to beg from God. Haya dibur kan gam la'Aaron. And that's why Aaron was rewarded for this action, and he was included in the nevuah, in the dibor given to both Moshe and Aaron. Aaron was included because he bowed down. But really, the essential navi was Moshe, and that's why in pasuk chav ches it says emor alehem in the singular, referring to Moshe. That Moshe's job was to tell them this onesh. So the Ramban is interesting. In the first Ramban we saw, he says that they were bowing down to the people, and they were begging the people to give up this complaint. But in this Ramban, it sounds like he's saying they were bowing down to daven to Hashem, l'schanin lo, to beg from him. And also, it's interesting, the Ramban sounds like this was a good thing, because he's saying Aaron was rewarded with Moshe because of the fact that they bowed down. So what was so great about it, about their response of bowing down, to the point where the Ramban sounds like he's saying that they were rewarded? If it was nothing, if it was meaningless, or if it was something that was natural for them, so they wouldn't have been rewarded. But the Ramban says that Aaron was rewarded by the fact that he bowed down. So what was the perfection, I guess, the good in bowing down? And also, how do we resolve the conflict in the Ramban? That on the one hand, the Ramban, in source number 2, claims that the bowing down was for the Jews. But on the other hand, in source number 4, The Ramban sounds like he's saying that the bowing down was really for a God. It was in order to daven, to beg from God. So how do we resolve that contradiction? And furthermore, what is the good of bowing down? Why was the reaction a good reaction that they bowed down? So with those questions, I want to start the shir off with one possible idea. And then we'll go with it. We'll take it and we'll go into other Rishonim as well. But the first idea I want to possibly try in the shir is the concept that perhaps the perfection or the good of Moshe Aaron bowing down is that they humbled themselves. Because really bowing down, when a person bows down and they put their face into the ground, it's really an idea of feeling or humbling yourself. You're not a bal gaiva. In fact, we say that standing up tall is really a sign of gaiva. You're not supposed to stand up straight. You're supposed to bend down a little bit. But putting your face on the ground is the ultimate expression of the idea of man humbling themselves, moving to the ground, being part of the ground. So it's a humbling motion. It's a humbling position of man. So I want to say that perhaps the Torah is teaching us that Moshe and Aaron, a natural reaction of a leader in this situation, especially in this last-ditch effort of the leaders, is to get angry. And there were many instances where Moshe and Aaron did get angry at the people, and that was how they responded to the people. But apparently in this situation, that wouldn't have been a good reaction. It would have been actually negative, because had the Jews ignored Moshe and Aaron, and had they gone to Mitzrayim or killed them, it sounds like they wanted to kill them. So it sounds like had Moshe and Aaron expressed an anger or that leadership quality where they were expressing a dominance over the people, that wouldn't have been the right approach in this situation. And it sounds like from the Ramban that the Svara, the theory is that Moshe and Aaron were demonstrating their humility in front of the people. And by demonstrating their humility in front of the people, that was really the best possible way, the most appropriate reaction in order to stop the damage from getting too terrible. So the Ramban is teaching us that idea. That's why Aaron was rewarded. The reward comes from the idea that there is a good, a perfection on the part of Aaron and Moshe in this type of reaction, that they didn't have to react this way. It would have been natural for them to have gotten angry at the Jews, but instead they humbled themselves, and that expression of humility was really a good thing because it allowed or prevented further damage from occurring. But had they led in a stronger, more aggressive manner, perhaps the Torah is teaching us that the Jews would have reacted in a worse way, and it would have been worse, ultimately, in the demise of the Jews. So this was actually the right approach that they took. And the idea that Ramban's saying, what's the contradiction? So the idea, it's not really a contradiction, because they're both similar ideas, that Moshe and Aaron try to humble themselves in front of the people. They didn't want the people to see them as these strong leaders in this situation, because in this situation it would have backfired, it would not have worked. But also, in order to daven before Hashem, you also have to be in the most humble state possible. So Moshe and Aaron recognized, on the one hand, that they had to demonstrate humility to the people, and on the other hand, that same humility was necessary in this situation in terms of davening to Hashem to stop the destruction of the Jews, because this was a terrible tragedy, and all the Jews could have been destroyed. So Moshe and Aaron recognized the gravity of the situation, and they were able to put themselves in the proper philosophical state to A, minimize the damage of the Jews, and B, daven to Hashem. So that's the idea in the Ramban. So the Ramban is teaching us one concept, that really Moshe and Aaron putting themselves on the ground is really an idea of humility, and that humility expressed itself in terms of the people, and it was an expression of the proper leadership in this position. And also, the humility also affected their ability to daven to Hashem and to ask Hashem for forgiveness. So both were necessary, and both were components of Moshe and Aaron's reaction in this situation. Okay, so that's the first idea. But there's a different approach, and it's the Svarno. So we'll take up the Svarno. So the Ramban we just defined, but the Svarno has a little bit of a different idea as to why Moshe and Aaron buried their faces in the ground. They prostrated themselves in this situation. So it says, Vayipo Moshe v'Aaron al Pneihem, source number 5, Birosam mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon. So he's quoting a pasuk from Koheles, which is that when you see something twisted that can't be fixed, Ke'inyon b'Sanhedrin, she'kavshu p'neihem b'karka, k'shelo yadu malasos me'imas ha'melech. There's a story in Sanhedrin where the Sanhedrin, they did the same thing that Moshe and Aaron did. They put their heads into the ground when they didn't know what to do, and they were scared of the king. So what is he talking about? What's the Svarno talking about? And what's the main idea of the prostration of Moshe and Aaron based on the Svarno? So the Svarno quotes a... Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Hello? All right. So the Svarno is sourced in the Sanhedrin, Daf Yotesamud Aleph and Yotesamud Beis, and we'll read through the story. And the story is an interesting story. It's kind of a negative story, but we'll try to analyze the Svarno, what the purpose of the prostration of Moshe and Aaron was, based on what he says in the story. If anybody has any ideas, just stop me. So, but let's just read through the story first, and then we'll get to the concept. So the story is, Melech Lodon. There's halacha that a melech cannot be... we'll start with this idea. The melech, a melech of the Jews, cannot be judged, and he cannot be a judge. So it says, Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Lo shanu ela malchi Yisrael. We only taught this halacha by the malchi Yisrael, not malchi David, malchi based David, but malchi Yisrael. And only the Malchi Yisrael were not allowed to be judged or be judges. Aval Malchi based David, but the Malachim, the kings that came from the house of David, Dun v'Dunin Oso. They can judge and they can be judged. Dichsiv based David, Komar Hashem, Dino Levakir Mishpat. There's a pasuk that says that the house of David should execute justice in the morning. So he says, V'ilo daininon le, inu hechi daini. If a king can't be judged, if anybody can't be judged, how can they be a judge? So there's a general principle that the Gemara is going to quote, which makes sense intuitively, that if you want to be a judge, you have to be capable of being judged yourself. V'haksiv, hiskoshishu, v'koshu, gather yourself. V'amar resh lakish, kshot atmecha, v'achkach kshot achirim. So this is the principle, that you adorn yourself and then you can adorn others, meaning you have to be subject to being judged in order for you to judge others. So there, from that point, we see that the Malchi Beis David can be judged and can be judges. Ela Malchi Yisrael, my time alo. So if that's the case, why are the Malchi Yisrael not allowed to be judged or judges? So what's the reason why? So there's a story here. So it says, Mishum Maisa Shahaya. There was a story, De Abde De Yanai Malka Katal Nafsha. The servant of Yanai, who's one of the Malchi Yisrael, he was a bad guy. His servant killed. He killed somebody. His servant, his eved. So Amar Luhu Shimon ben Shetach lechachamim. So Shimon ben Shetach, who was the leader at that time, said to the chachamim, "Tnu einichem bo v'nidonenu. We need to judge this case that the servant killed somebody. The servant of Yanai Amelch killed somebody. We need to create justice in this situation. Shalchu le abdecha katal nafsha. They sent to Yanai, the Sanhedrin sent to Yanai." Your Eved killed somebody. Shadri Lehu. So Yanai sent the Eved down to be judged. Shalchule ta ant nami lacha. So they sent a letter back to Yanai. You also have to come. The huad bivalav. That the owner has to be testified against. Amar Torah yovo balashor v'yamar al-shoro. Meaning that even though Yanai didn't commit the crime, the halacha is that the owner of the shore or the owner of the Eved has to come in as well and be testified against. Asa v'yasiv. So he came. Yanai came to the Sanhedrin, and he sat down by the Sanhedrin. Amar le Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach said to Yanai, Yanai amelech, Yanai the king, amoda raglecha v'yaidu b'cha. So stand up, and we'll testify against you. V'lo lefaninu ata omed. You're not standing for us. El lefnei misha hamar v'haya olam ata omed. You're standing before God. The Torah calls based in like Elohim. It calls it almost like Hashem. It's as if you're standing before Hashem. You're not really standing before Sanhedrin, but you're standing before the justice of Hashem. So Amar Lo, Yanai said back, Kishitomar Ata Elohimashi Yomru Chavirecha. So I'm not going to listen to you. I want to hear what your brethren on the Sanhedrin have to say. So Nifne Liyamino, so Shimon ben Shetach, who is the leader, who is the one who said to Yanai to stand up before justice, he turns to his right. Kavshu Pnei Bekarka. So the Sanhedrin, on his right, they put their faces in the ground. Nifne Lismolo, then he turned to the left, the Kavshu Pnei Bekarka. And the same thing, they didn't want to stand up to the king, because they were scared. So Amar Lohen, Shimon ben Shetach, Balei Machshavos Atem. So Shimon ben Shetach said, you guys are masters of thought. You're these great thinkers. Yovo ba machshavos v'yipar mikem. So the true master of thoughts will repay you for this evil. Miyad ba gavriel v'chavtan bekarka. So Gavriel came right away and destroyed them. Umesu ba'osasha, and they died. Ba'osasha amru melech lodan v'lodanin oso lomei v'lomeidin oso. So that's why they established this idea that a melech can't be judged and can't be a judge because there's too much fear there. So it was impossible for this situation to occur. So you see from this story, this is the story that the Sforno quotes, that the Sanhedrin, they put their faces in the ground because they didn't know how to, they didn't know what to do. They were too scared to react. But in the case of Sanhedrin, it sounds like it's a negative. It was an imperfection. Look at Rashi in source number 7. So it says, "Tnu einichem ladunu b'din v'lo sachnifu v'lo susu panav." So Shimon ben Shetach said to Sanhedrin, "You have to judge this case as objectively as possible." Ve'idu b'cha, and we want to testify. She'avdecha haragas anefesh de'avdu kechamoro ve'hefsin mamun hulo l'ficha tzarach ladunu b'fanav. So they wanted to testify against Yanai about his servant. So nifne Shimon liyamin leda im yomru kamosa. So Shimon ben Shetach turned to his right to see if his colleagues would support him. Kavshu pneim shayu yirein mimenu. They were all scared. Baal machshavos haKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, as a result, they were punished by God. God is the Baal machshavos, so he's the true master of thoughts. So the story in Sanhedrin is a similar type of story to our case, where Moshe and Aaron, they basically bury their faces in the ground, as the Torah says. But in the story in Sanhedrin, it sounds like it was a negative. But it sounds like from the Torah, and at least from the Ramban, that it wasn't really negative. Moshe and Aaron certainly aren't punished for doing this. So what is the comparison between the two situations? And what is the reaction of Moshe and Aaron at this point, according to the Sforno? So the answer to the Sforno, just so the one idea I think we're going to bring out, if anybody has the possibility what the Sforno means, so what exactly was the purpose of Moshe and Aaron's prostration? So the first point that the Sforno makes in source number 5 is this pasuk from Kehelet. It says, "Me'uvas lo yuchal iskon." So something twisted cannot be fixed. So what does that mean? So it sounds like what it means is that Moshe and Aaron at this point realized that it was too late. That sometimes a leader realizes in certain situations that you could still fix the situation. The situation could change, could be overturned. But really at this point, it sounds like Moshe and Aaron already recognized the level of damage that had occurred by the Jews crying all night and wanting to go back to Mitzrayim. And they understood that there was a limit to their ability to stop this from occurring. So Mu'uvas l'yichol iskon means that they realized, they understood the nature, the level of and degree and severity of the Jews' sin up till this point. And the idea of putting their faces in the ground, mipnei emas hamelech. So in the Svarno, he quotes the Gemara. And the Gemara is emas hamelech was the melech Yanai. But over here, Emas HaMelech sounds like it's God, meaning that Moshe and Aaron really understood, or they really had a true Emas HaMelech because they understood how the Hashgacha, at least somewhat, would react in this situation, and their immediate response was Hishtachavaya, was prostration, because they understood the level of the Jews at this point, Mu'uvas lo yichol iskon, there's no ability to stop it, it's already damaged permanently. And also, Emas HaMelech, they knew that at this point it was really in God's hands and there would be tremendous mishpat, tremendous din. So they immediately set themselves up to adjust to that situation. They set themselves up to daven, and they set themselves up because they in a state of prostration because they had a true Emas HaMelech at that moment, because they recognized the level of demise and the level of destruction that was going to befall the Jews. And this was prior to the end of the story. It's just that Moshe and Aaron, they understood how justice worked, how Hashgacha worked, and they understood the level of the Jews up to this point. So that's a different idea than the Ramban. The Ramban was saying before that the prostration was an idea of humility on the part of Moshe and Aaron, either to stop the Jews and to put themselves in a state of tefillah. But according to the Sforno, it seems like they already accepted the fate of the Jews, and they were just preparing themselves for that fate. And the way to prepare themselves when you're in a state of awe and ema of the king is to put yourself in hashtachavaya, in a state of prostration. So did they accept the end result of the Jews at this point, and they knew that it was too late, and now they were just preparing for the next stage, or were they humbling themselves and they were trying to influence the Jews in the best way possible, which was not to act in an aggressive, authoritarian way, but to humble themselves in the eyes of man and the eyes of God. So those are two different ideas. So the last point in the shir,
The first points were dealing with Moshe and Aaron. But another question that we had was, what's the difference between Moshe and Aaron and Yoshua and Kalev? So if you go back to source number one, in Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem lifnei kol kahal das b'nei Yisrael. It says that Moshe and Aaron, they fell on their faces. And then in Vav, it says, V'Yoshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yifuneh min ha-tarim es ha-aretz kar'u b'gdehem. So they teared their clothing. And then it says, "Vayomru al kladas bnei shalemor art to share a vulnerable asurso tovar to meon mod." And then they try to convince the Jews that they're making a huge mistake. So the question that we asked at the beginning of the share, one of the questions was, "What's the difference between Moshe Aaron and Yoshua and Kalev?" So luckily, the Torah Tamima quotes this Gemara in Tainus, where he actually, the Gemara itself notices this distinction between the two. In source number 8, it says, "Ve'amar Rav Elazar." And Rav Elazar also said, because this is a continuation of the last piece, we'll see the Marshal learns it like that. But it says, V'amar Rav Elazar, lo hakol b'kriya v'lo hakol b'nefila. Not everyone is it appropriate for them to tear their clothes, and not everyone should fall to the ground. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Moshe and Aaron fell to the ground. Yoshua v'Kalev b'kriya. So the Gemara immediately notices the distinction between Moshe and Aaron and Yoshua and Kalev. That Moshe and Aaron fell to the ground, Yoshua and Kalev ripped their clothes. So Moshe v'Aaron bit minefila dechsev vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al paneihem. Yoshua v'chalev b'kriya dechsev Yoshua b'nun v'chalev ben yifuneh kar'u b'gdehem. So they had different reactions. So the Gemara says, maskif la Rabbi Zera. So Rav Zera objects to this. V'item Rav Shmuel. Some say it's Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini. I'av aksiv Yoshua k'dika amris. If the Torah said Yoshua, it's as the way you said it, which is that Moshe and Aaron did nefila, and Kalev and Yoshua did Kriya. Hashta dechsev vi Yoshua hava ha'aved. But the Torah, if you look in Pasuk Vav, it says vi Yehoshua ben Nun. It doesn't say Yehoshua, but it says vi Yehoshua with a Vav, which implies that they did both. That Yoshua and Kalev both prostrated themselves and did Kriya. And the other side, the first Shita says they just did Kriya. But either way, the reaction was different than Moshe and Aaron. Either they just did Kriya, or they did both. They did Nefila and Kriya. So what's the difference between the two? So if you look in Rashi, in source number 9, it says, Lo akol nenin b'nefila v'lo akol nenin b'kriya. Not everyone is answered with Nefila, with falling to the ground, and not everyone is answered with Kriya. D'yoshua v'kalev shelo ayu chashuvin kemoshe v'aron lo zachu le'anos ela b'kriya u'mikra b'alma kadarish. So, for some reason, Rashi says that because Yoshua and Kalev weren't as respected as Moshe and Aaron, they shouldn't have done Nefila. They should only do Kriya. And that's why they did Kriya. But what does respect have to do with it? Meaning, so Rashi gives an explanation. He says on the Gemara that Moshe and Aaron were on a higher level. And a higher level is to do Nefila and for Hashem to respond to falling to the ground. And Yoshua and Kalev were on a lower level. So they did a lower level action of Kriya. So what does this have to do? What is chashuvin, the chashivas of Yoshua and Kalev vis-a-vis Moshe and Aaron have to do with how they reacted in this situation? And then the next Rashi says, V'Yoshua ben Nun, k'siv basrei da'hu vayipol vav mosev al inan rishon. So the vav of Yoshua is to add in Yoshua that they did both. Yoshua and Kalev did both Nefila and Kriya. The first Rashi is very troubling because Rashi is explaining for some reason that yes, it's true, Moshe and Aaron reacted in one way, they did Nefila, and Kalev and Yoshua did Kriya. But what's the difference? And what does Chashuvin have to do with anything? What is the fact that Moshe and Aaron are on a higher level, more respected? What does it have to do with how you're supposed to react in this situation where the Jews are complaining and they're ready to go back to Mitzrayim? So what exactly is Rashi, what does he mean over here? So that's the question. So we're going to look at, to answer that question, we'll look at the Marsha. And then we'll give our own answer. So those are the two possibilities as to what the difference is between Kriya and Nefila. Why would Moshe and Aaron do Nefila and Yoshua and Kalev do Kriya and just tear their clothes? Okay, so V'lo akol b'nefila. Look at the Marsha in source number 10. He gives an interesting point. He says, Ayin Pirsh Rashi, Dvarv Nirin Kisosrin. This seems like a contradiction. Shekasav, De'ena kol nanin b'kriya. That not everyone is answered by the act of Kriya, by tearing your clothes. V'amai, kevan shayu chashuvin Moshe v'Aaron, lama lo yu nanin gam b'kriya de Yoshua v'Kalev. So why wouldn't Moshe and Aaron be answered if they did Kriya like Yoshua and Kalev?
Lo nasan tam shelo hayu nanin benefila ela mishum shelo hayu chashuvin. So the Rashi says the reason that they weren't answered, or that they wouldn't be answered, benefila, is because they're not as great as Moshe and Aaron, implying that if Moshe and Aaron did Kriya, they would be answered. That Kriya is a lesser form of nefila, of falling to the ground. Vilulei Perusha, without his explanation, Nira Lefarish, what does this mean? So he gives his own pshat. Well, how would you explain the Gemara? Lo akol b'kriya, kevan shayu Moshe v'Aaron chashuvin, since Moshe v'Aaron were on a higher level, darchan b'nefila, the way for them to react and to respond is through nefila, v'ein darchan levazos atzmon b'kriyas begadim, and they shouldn't be mevaza themselves and degrade themselves in front of the people by tearing their clothes. V'lo akol b'nefila, de'ein darchan shel einan chashuvin ki yoshu v'kalei b'nefila mishum demechzik yura k'deleel. And Yoshua and Kalev, they shouldn't bow down because they're going to look like they're more righteous than they really are. And it's mechsi ki yura, which means that you look haughty, you look arrogant. So when people try to make themselves appear more religious than the people view them as, so that's considered mechsi ki yura. So if you have a guy get up and he's crying in front of the tzibor and he's throwing himself to the ground, so the Marsha is saying that a guy shouldn't do that. That's Mexiki Yura. It's like you're appearing religious to the people, but that's really inappropriate unless you're on the level of Moshe Aaron, where it's clear that you're on a distinct level. So he says that Yeshua, what does it mean, lo akol nanin benefila, lo akol nanin bekriya? So the Marsha is explaining that a person has to recognize their level, and you don't want to degrade yourself, because that would be a negative vis-a-vis the people. If the people view you in a degraded fashion and it's not necessary, it'll affect their perception of you. And he says the opposite is also true, that a person who's not on the level should not appear more religious, because that's an idea of haughtiness. So he says that lo akol b'kriya v'lo akol b'nefila is an idea in terms of the person's ability to maintain their image in front of the people, that you have to know yourself, you have to know how the people view you, and you have to respond accordingly. So it's a weird idea. And he says, V'chiyai gavna misparish malachim b'kima, darchan b'kima, sagi b'kima. It also says later on in the Gemara that malachim, when they get up, that's the way that they get up, they stand up. V'ein tzrich levazos atzma b'shtachavaya, they don't have to bow down. V'sarim she'inan chashuvin kolkach b'shtachavaya, v'lo b'kima, demexiki yura. And by sarim, officers, they shouldn't stand up, they should bow down. Because if they stand up, it's mechziki yura. She has sagila and bekima kmo malachim. Umaskif la de'ema Yoshua hava ha'avid. So the Gemara objects and says maybe Yoshua did both. V'lo mechzi anafila kiyura. And it doesn't look like kiyura, like he's being haughty, Yoshua and Kalev, by acting like Moshe and Aaron. V'lo yanena ele b'charvayu. He wouldn't have been answered unless he did both. V'eich shia bein lefi divrei Rav Elazar d'loya Yoshua b'nafila uvein lefi divrei hamidcha d'havi b'itarti. Either way, so earlier, we see that there was a case when Yoshua was the leader, where he was nofel on his face, and he was responded to. So we see that Yoshua was able to respond in that way. So he answers, V'yish lomar, l'fi darchinu, devada bizman Moshe v'Aaron sh'tlayu, Yoshua chashuv l'gabayu, havi mechzik yura. When Moshe and Aaron were around, if Yoshua were to act like Moshe and Aaron, it would appear haughty, as if you were on a higher level than he actually was. Benefila. K'moshe asu ha-chashuv v'moshe v'Aaron. Aval achar kach shay Yoshua chashuv u'melech haya, hava darko benefila. But when Yoshua was the king, and he was in charge, so then he did do nefila, and the Gemara explains that below kriya k'moshe v'Aaron b'yemeyam, just like Moshe Aaron. So the Marsha says this is the main idea in the Marsha, that the reaction of Moshe Aaron versus Yoshua was based on their level vis-a-vis the people. That a person has to be very careful and understand the way people perceive you and how it will affect them if you change that perception. So Moshe Aaron, it would be inappropriate for them to do kriya because there would be mevaza themselves in front of the people. And for Yoshua and Kalev, at the time of Moshe Aaron, for them to act like Moshe Aaron would be mechzik yura, would appear haughty on the part of Yoshua and Kalev, as if they're on the level of Moshe Aaron, as if they can affect the Hashgacha in the same way. So they shouldn't do that. But when Yoshua was the leader, you see that he acted like Moshe and Aaron. So it was just a byproduct of relative to Moshe and Aaron, Yoshua and Kalev were on a lower level. But he's not really getting to the key idea, which is the last point that I want to make in this shiur, which is,
What exactly is the main distinction between the Kriya and the Nefila? Fine, it's very nice to say why Moshe and Aaron acted differently than Yoshua and Kalev. And the idea of not being Mevazen themselves versus Yoshua and Kalev, that they couldn't be Mechzik Yura. But what exactly is the underlying concept behind Nefila and Kriya? So I want to give a different idea than the Marsha for Rashi. And Rashi, in source number 8, is the key. In source number 8, he says that lo akol nanin b'nefila v'lo akol nanin b'kriya yoshuva kalev shalayu chashuvin k'moshe v'aron. Lo zachu li'anos ela b'kriya. They weren't as great as Moshe and Aaron, and therefore nefila alone wouldn't have been good. They had to do kriya as well. So why? Why is that the case? So aside from the Marsha's reasoning, I have a different possibility. Perhaps the idea is that the difference between Moshe and Aaron's reaction and Yoshua and Kalev is based on chashivas, like Rashi says, but it means that Moshe and Aaron were defined as distinct from the people. They were leaders, but they had their own distinct space that they existed in, and their reaction didn't necessitate them, dissociating from the people. But Yoshua and Kalev was one of the Tarim and Aretz. Yoshua was younger, and he was part of the people. He was in this group of people. They had to demonstrate, they had to do kriya, they had to demonstrate a dissociation from the people. And in order for them to daven, to be mespalel properly to Hashem, they really had to dissociate their minds and their emotions from the appeal of the people. So Moshe and Aaron, they didn't need to do that. Moshe and Aaron were on a level where they didn't identify with the people's complaint at all. And to the contrary, all they didn't needed to do was do nefila. They could just put themselves in a state of tefillah and be nana in that state. But Yoshua and Kalev, they had to break their identification with the people, with the other meraglim and with the people. And when you do kriya and you tear your clothes, that was a demonstration of a breakage of Yoshua and Kalev from the rest of the people. And of course, at the end, they try to convince them to go into Eretz Yisrael. So they're really showing which side they're on, that they're not identifying with the people in any way. And only then could they really be mespala properly to Hashem. And that's what it means. Lo kol nanin b'nefila, v'lo kol nanin b'kriya. Why is nefila better? Because nefila is an immediate state of man is before God and he's ready to daven. But kriya is a dissociation from the people. It's an act. It's a maisa. It's an act of clearly demonstrating that you're not with the people, that you're separate, and that you don't identify with what they're trying to do, with their attempt to go back to Mitzrayim, with any of the feelings that they had and the fears. The Yoshua and Kalev had to demonstrate a separation from the people. But Moshe and Aaron, they didn't need to, because they're more chashiv, meaning they intuitively didn't identify with this complaint at all, and they were able to immediately put themselves in the appropriate state of tefillah. Whereas Yoshua and Kalev, they needed to do kriya, they needed to separate themselves from the complaints of the people and from their identification with the other meraglim and the people in order for them to be in a state of tefillah properly. The only machlokas in the Gemara, just last point, the only machlokas in the Gemara is whether they just had to do kriya or they did both, which is, the question is, do you define the nefila and kriya as a different action? When you do nefila and kriya together, it's a different action? Or do you say that they're two actions, and really Yoshua and Kalev, they weren't privy to doing Hishtachavaya? They can only do kriya, but they didn't have a right to do Hishtachavaya. Or do you say that Hishtachavaya and kriya is a different action than just Hishtachavaya alone? But either way, it's the same point. The point is that Moshe and Aaron were on the level where they didn't need to separate themselves. They didn't need to demonstrate or do any action on their part to separate themselves from the people. But Yoshua, in order to prepare themselves for tefillah, but Yoshua and Kalev, they did. They had to be makareya, their begadim, in order to demonstrate that they weren't with the people, that now they were separated and put themselves in the proper state of tefillah. And that's why it says lo kol nanin. It's referring to tefillah. How does tefillah works differently for different people based on their ability to dissociate and from evil, or dissociate from the wrong. Okay, so that's the end. The last two sources I brought in, they're just the Gemara before. So if you want to, we can, you know, read it on your own, but it's really the Marsha. The Marsha quotes the Gemara before, and it shows you that Yoshua was able to do Nefila when he was the king. When he was the king, he was able to do Nefila. He was on the level of Moshe and Aaron philosophically, but when he wasn't the king, he wasn't able to do Nefila. All right, so that's the end of the shir. So let me just summarize the main points of the shir. It's really, there's really just maybe three or four points in the whole shir. But the main purpose, objective of the shir was to try to answer the question of why Moshe and Aaron reacted in the way they reacted, which was by falling to the ground, and Yehoshua and Kalev tore their clothing. So the first idea we wanted to analyze was the purpose of falling to the ground. So we had two distinct approaches. The Ramban approaches it that the falling to the ground was an idea of humility, that the appropriate leadership in this moment was to fall to the ground, to demonstrate a humility in front of the people, and instead of the natural leadership, which was to be angry and to be forceful, Moshe and Aaron recognized that that wouldn't be effective, and it actually would be harmful in this situation. So they were able to humble themselves, not just before the people, but also before God. So they were able to accomplish both, but it was the same maisa. It's a maisa of humility when you put your face into the ground and you prostrate yourself. The Svarno was saying something different. He was saying that they already resigned to the fact that the Jews were going to be punished, and they were preparing themselves for the inevitable. They recognized when the Hashgacha would come in and would punish the Jews, and there was an Emas HaMelech. When you see Hashgacha, when you see Midas HaDin, there's a fear there, there's an awe. And that awe pushed them, propelled them into a state of Hishtachavaya. So that was really the Svarno's approach, different approach than the Ramban. And the last idea was the idea of the difference between Yehoshua and Kalev and Moshe and Aaron. So we had two different approaches. One is the Marsha, and he says that Moshe and Aaron were able to do Nefilah because of the level. They didn't want to be Mavazin themselves. And Yehoshua and Kalev did Kriya because of Mechzi Kiyura. They couldn't appear haughty. They didn't want to exceed their level vis-a-vis the people. But then we gave one other idea, which is that the idea of Nefilah versus Kriya is that Nefilah is a state that a person can go into immediately when they're dissociated from the people and when they're ready to stand before God. But Yehoshua and Kalev, they weren't on that level, and they needed to demonstrably do an action of Kriya in order to separate themselves from the people, and only then could they be Nana appropriately. But if they hadn't done that, then their tefillah would be lacking. So that's the idea. All right, so everybody, thank you for calling in, and have a good Shabbos. Thanks so much.